couple of weeks ago, on my day off, it was a beautiful, sunny day, and so I decided to go in the backyard and finally rake up my leaves. And so as I began to rake beneath those lifeless and dead leaves, to my surprise, there was life emerging underneath. Little green plant shoots were springing up everywhere. I realized that it's not always what's on the surface that matters, but what God is doing at deeper levels to bring forth new life when we least expect it. And that is what Mary Magdala discovers in the gospel today, as she makes a discovery at one of the darkest moments in her life, one filled with violence and death and fear and a broken heart. 3 days before she arrived at the cemetery, she had witnessed Jesus, her friend, her savior, her king, her Rabboni and teacher, being lynched on the cross. Acts says he was hung on a tree, death by crucifixion. Her world was shattered, much like the coronavirus has shattered so much of our lives. When COVID-19 broke into 2020, like life as we knew it was just slowly stripped away. No hugging, no touching, no constant sanitizing, no singing, no gathering, no traveling, no eating out, no visiting, no school, no work, unless you were an essential worker. All life came to a halt and paused. In fact, Governor Cuomo told us that we were New Yorkers on pause. So when Mary lost Jesus, she felt like her life was on pause. Has your heart ever troubled you so much that you couldn't sleep? Maybe you lost a loved one or a job or a relationship that meant everything to you. I'm thinking today of Lois Topolsky, who buried her husband yesterday. Lois, are you here? So our hearts go out to her. There's so many of you who've lost loved ones, and so you understand the pain of losing someone that you deeply love. And when you deeply love someone and experience a loss, you really can't sleep. Mary couldn't sleep. It was still dark when she goes to the tomb. Now, at that time of morning, the birds are chirping and singing, but all she wants to do is be with Jesus. She remembered as she approached where they laid him, all the ways she kept thinking that he healed her life and others. He lifted and changed so many people's lives. How many of you have had your lives changed by Jesus? Yeah, he's changed mine. Mary was remembering with each step that she took how he changed the lives of lepers and prostitutes, poor widows and children and tax collectors and people living on the margins of society. He even freed her from her demons and kept a woman caught in adultery from being stoned, refusing to condemn her. Jesus helped Mary believe in a new world of equity and love and compassionate justice and healing for all people, regardless of where they came from or who they were. Jesus had no boundaries for his love. And it's important for us to remember that when we get down on ourselves, that nothing keeps Jesus' love from getting to you. And yet here she finds herself taking a trip to the cemetery on a Sunday morning like this, with a broken heart, wondering, is this how it's all going to end? It's what we wondered when coronavirus first came for us, didn't we? As Mary got to the place where Jesus' tomb was supposed to be, she saw something that shook her out of her grief and baffled her. The stone that was placed in front of the borrowed tomb had been removed. The place where Jesus' body was supposed to be was empty. Where is it? What's going on here? Who did this? Where is Jesus? Was it vandalism? Was it grave robbers? The violence of his death was bad enough. But now she finds an empty tomb. What could this mean? What do you do when you can't find Jesus and you don't know what God is up to. Mary was unable to make sense out of an empty tomb. And so she runs to Peter and the other disciple, and they just can't believe it. She tells them what she finds, and Peter and the disciple who Jesus loves, they return with her, and they find it just as she said. They find inside empty burial clothes, a head wrap. And once inside, they see it, and the scripture says they believe. The passage ends by saying they don't quite understand the scripture that he had risen from the dead. You see, just because we experience something profound doesn't always mean we understand it. In 2019, I went to Alabama and I attended the Proctor Conference. The theme was the cry of black blood. At some point in the conference, as attendees, we took a trip to visit the outdoor National Memorial for Peace and Justice site. It's our nation's first outdoor memorial, dedicated to the legacy of enslaved black people, people terrorized by lynching, African Americans humiliated by racial segregation and Jim Crow, and people of color burdened with contemporary presumptions of guilt and police violence. As I walked under over 4,000 pillars and columns representing these lynchings across 12 southern states, I began to recognize names of my ancestral relatives that my grandmother told me about. With each reading of recognized family members, my heart just grew heavier and heavier. And, you know, I had to drive to the site in my own personal car, and so I wasn't on the bus where there were counselors to attend to the riders. So on the way back to the hotel, I started to break down. By the time I got to my room, I was completely spent. So I called the front desk for towels. I just wanted to shower and lay back and rest my eyes. And that's when it happened. I had a vision or a visitation of some sort. I can't tell you which. In it, I was laying on the same bed, wondering, what was taking so long for them to bring those towels? And so I reached my hand to the left behind me. And to my surprise, I felt a stack of towels in the bed next to me. And I thought to myself, did I fall asleep and didn't hear them bring them in the room? And as I felt how fluffy and white they felt, another sensation startled me. I felt a hand rest on top of mine. And I thought to myself, who else is in this bed with me? And so as I slowly turned around to see, it was a figure in all black, laying next to me in a hoodie, looking me in the eyes with such deep love. In the deepest hour of my pain and my struggle, there they were. I knew in the glance that this was one of my ancestors coming to see about me with a message that a new world is emerging that is different from the one they came through. I just needed to trust that God had a plan and be ready for it. When I came out of that vision, the towels indeed had come to the room, except they were 10 feet away from me on the dresser. Just because you have a profound experience doesn't always mean that you understand it. We never know what God is up to. So why was God calling Mary and these disciples with her to bear witness to an empty tomb? Perhaps because we too are being called to bear witness to the empty tombs in our own lives. All the times of hopelessness, despair and isolation, darkness that we thought would end us. To know that God has the power to roll the stone away, to free us from our tombs, to cause a new world to emerge out of the pain of our past. A new world is emerging because Jesus has emerged anew. He's risen from the grave. Death couldn't hold him. He's risen in you. He's risen in me. He's risen in us. The story of Easter is that Christ is alive. He's not dead. He's bursting the bounds of death, running around wild and free through human life, ripping through our limitations like he did those grave clothes. Jesus can't be limited, not by our circumstances or death itself. That's the good news. We must be okay with the tomb being empty. We can't put new life in an old shell of a tomb. New wine in old wineskins. Jesus represented new life, not a dead past of injustice or fears or mistakes or failures. A new world is bursting forth with opportunity, new beginnings and new life. Are you ready for it? Just ask Jalil Muntakemp. Jalil was a man that I told you about many times who had been charged with a felony for filling out a voter registration form in this community. Many of you worked tirelessly with me, advocating for him to be shown compassionate justice. After press conferences and meetings with the DA and email exchanges, and I presented to her entire office of lawyers, and then we had more meeting requests. And on this Friday, I received a call from the DA's office. She said, "Reverend Myra, I want you to know that we dropped the charges." A new world is emerging. The stone was rolled away. Policing departments all over the country and unprecedented moves are being pushed towards reimagining policing in communities of color and in our world. We are understanding that violence is something for all of us to work on together to end it in our community and in our systems. We're finally understanding that the stone of violence has to be rolled away together. A new world is emerging. Last week, our mayor announced an initiative to explore a reparations program, including the possibility of establishing of a universal basic income, as well as a home ownership program in the city, using tax revenue from future marijuana sales and other funding to close what she said the wealth gap between Black, brown, and white residents. A wealth gap that was the consequence of year-long racial inequity that began during slavery or unequal treatment after emancipation. It included mandated segregation in schools and housing and discrimination in the labor market and redlining, which reduced access to capital in Black and brown communities, keeping families in cycles of poverty generationally. The possibility of establishing a universal basic income in these communities that were most affected by criminalization of marijuana will change the game for urban education for children, homelessness, provide resources for addiction, mental health services for families, transportation, childcare. The stone of generational inequity will be rolled away. A new world is emerging that could close the wealth gap and truly lift the poor. Last year, many of us were sheltered in place, uncertain about what the future held. Over 500,000 people worldwide have died. Some of you lost your loved ones. Today, we have a vaccine that's available for ages 16 and up, with a new study being done right now to see how safe it is to vaccinate our younger children. The stone of coronavirus is slowly being rolled away. A new world is emerging. Jesus left a very different world from the one he returned to when he rose from the dead. We know that Mary eventually stays at the empty tomb and encounters Jesus a second time. But she mistakes him for a gardener until he calls her by name. There's something about the name. And he sends her to tell the others of his resurrection, his ascension, his new life that he has, a new life that he has given for all of us. You know, there's a story that Arun Gandhi tells when he was little. He says that his grandfather, Mahatma Gandhi, asked him to dismantle a spinning wheel. And when he did, he said, "Now spin this cotton sliver into yarn for me." And Arun said, "Well, how can I do that when the machine is dismantled, grandfather?" "Very well," Mahatma Gandhi said, "then put it back together again." And while he was busy working on that, he noticed that his grandfather took away a very small wheel. He realized that he could not complete the assembly without it, so he asked for it back. "Why do you need it? It is so small," Gandhi said. "Can you not make the machine work without it?" "No," he said. "Exactly," his grandfather said. "Just as the machine cannot function when it is divided into separate parts, life cannot function meaningfully when each person acts independently. Just as the smallest wheel is necessary to make the spinning wheel work properly, every individual that God has created has an integral part of the whole and must work in unison with others so that life can be smooth and in harmony, because nobody is dispensable. A new world is emerging to ensure that no one is dispensable, and we get to play a part in God's vision for that kind of world. So as Mary becomes the first Easter witness today to this reality, she leaves behind her tomb of tears and fear, and her despair is rolled away. She finds comfort, she finds new hope in Jesus, and so do we. He left the world in need of forgiveness, and we return to a one that was forgiven. He left the world in darkness, and he returned to a world illuminated in his light. And you are the carriers of his light, disciples. He left the world struggling with its faith, and he returned to a world that would quickly learn how to use just a mustard seed of it to change lives. The disciples used their faith to believe that they could change the world. And that is the faith that we have been given this Easter. So as Jesus got up with all power in his hands, he placed it in ours. Our job is to keep resurrecting a new world, keep making room for it to emerge. Happy Easter.